Now, I know that baked goldfish, even multicolored baked goldfish, do not make much of a breakfast. I also know this was not really breakfast for all of you. Hopefully you got some before you came earlier. But let me give you some other things to chew on for a few minutes as we have breakfast with Jesus this morning. This particular passage of Scripture functions on a lot of different levels, and let me share some of those levels with you. The first we notice in this passage is that the main character here is Peter. This text, it is said by many, is a text that seeks to, if you will, rehabilitate Peter. Now, why would Peter need rehabilitating, you might ask? Well, do you not remember some of the rough days that came before this? When the disciple Peter followed Jesus after his arrest, and there in the courtyard ended up denying Jesus, how many times was it? Once? Twice? Three times? Did you notice in this particular passage that how many times Jesus asked that particular question of Peter? Was it once? Was it twice? How many times was it? Three times. And each time Jesus asked that question, he followed it up with a statement. And generally, if you were to put it into three words, what did he say? Anyone? No? The statement, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. As some have said, this particular text serves to rehabilitate Peter, who was not only brought down a notch in the eyes of this gospel, but also suffered a great deal at his own hand, as no doubt after he denied Christ and could not even be at the foot of the cross when Jesus faced his worst, he ran off in fear. And yet this is the very same Peter who is considered to be kind of the leader, one of the key leaders of the church that followed. This was a text to rehabilitate Peter, not only in the eyes of others, but also in his own eyes. This is a text that moves in the direction of forgiveness. And sometimes the hardest person to forgive is who? Yourself. Do you love me? Of course I love you. A statement made with a degree of question within it. Do I really? Do you love me? Now I hear Jesus' command as a form of forgiveness in the first place. Jesus is calling Peter to step into forgiveness. But this is not a command that makes it such that Peter must do this. But it is an invitation into forgiving himself so that he can become what God intends him to be. A sheep feeder, a shepherd. Now, You know enough, I think, of church history to know that this pope that recently got called to follow the last one follows in the line, the lineage, direct lineage, it is claimed, from Peter himself. And that authority goes all the way up to the present pope, so it is said. However, I got to tell you that the Bible has within it its own criticism, if you notice. And there is actually a person in the text who is, when it comes to that word love, more central here. Were you listening? The role was portrayed by our brother King A. And King A, who were you playing in this scripture? Yes, a disciple, but what was he called? The beloved disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. And this disciple pops up at various points in John's gospel. John's gospel, by the way, is the one that is most critical of Peter himself. It is the one that presents Peter as approaching somewhat of a bumbling idiot as we read through John's gospel. And yes, this end rehabilitates him, but this gospel ends by focusing upon the beloved disciple, this one whom is loved. Now, it says at the end, if we read a little bit further in this chapter, which is the last chapter in John's gospel, it talks about this beloved disciple being the one who has written all of this. And the text is a little bit questionable at this point because we're not really sure who this is referring to. Now, I could have had John, the disciple, one of the sons of Zebedee, who was portraying John? Wasn't it you portraying John? I think it was. As being the beloved disciple. And part of the tradition says it was John, the son of Zebedee, who is the author of this gospel and who is indeed the beloved disciple. But there have been questions raised down through the centuries from, in fact, the very beginning of when this book came into existence, questioning whether that was indeed the beloved disciple. Now, I think that John, in his gospel, is intentionally never identifying that beloved disciple on purpose, so that we don't take that beloved disciple and lift that beloved disciple up above everybody else, because that would destroy the whole sense of calling that we each have. Just as I think John's gospel doesn't lift Peter up so high above everybody else, so that when we hear those words spoken to Peter, we don't just think, oh, that just applies to Peter, but that we sit at breakfast with Jesus and all these other disciples, and we hear Jesus' questions asked of us, and we hear his invitation. And that's how I hear that, is an invitation. Yes, it could be shared as a command, feed my sheep. But I hear it as an invitation. An invitation that is in some way similar to another chapter in one of the other Gospels, where Jesus tells a story about someone, a king, if you will, who stands before all his subjects and separates them between sheep and goats. And he calls one side, the sheep side, blessed, and the goat side, not so blessed. Because on the one side, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was naked and you clothed me. You know that passage. And on the other side, he's saying to this, well, I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. And I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And I was in prison and you didn't visit me. And both ask the same question. Both sides ask the same question. Lord, when did we see you? We didn't see you thirsty. We didn't see you hungry. We didn't see you naked. We didn't see you in prison. And Jesus said, whatsoever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you have done unto me. We say that passage from memory, how we memorized it, right? I hear in that passage an invitation to keep our eyes wide open. Wide open for Jesus. Because as another piece of scripture says, you know, extend hospitality. Because you never know who's going to show up. Some have entertained angels unaware. Keep reaching out to people because, you know, Jesus is there. There are all sorts of breakfast moments in life. I mean, we had one yesterday, didn't we? Many of us were there. Some of us served. And did you see, those of you who were there serving at table, did you see Jesus come through the line? I didn't see Jesus come through the line. But he was there. We have opportunities throughout life. If only we keep our eyes open and hear the invitation. Feed my sheep. Willard shared a little bit about the invitation he has received and how he has been answering that invitation to feed my sheep by taking children from here to Philadelphia. That invitation is all over the place, my brothers and sisters. And Jesus is asking us all the time, do you love me? It's not a negative question. It's a positive question. Do you love me? King A, do you love me? Not me, but Jesus is saying to you, do you love me? John, do you love me? Bill, do you love me? And the invitation, feed my sheep. Of course, I know you're going to feed them with more than just a goldfish. As nicely colored as they were, I found those and thought they would be appropriate for this. God has been answering our prayer. As I said last week, about a year ago, I think it was, we started this once a month prayer meeting. And a number of us who were able to do so gathered in the library, and those who didn't were invited to somehow connect with us where they were and to pray and just be asking God for, you know, a sense of direction for our congregation. What do you want us to do, O Lord? And we kind of stumbled our way through that. We kind of were Quaker in how we approached it. And I don't know how well we did at this silent bit, you know. But again, I want to say that I believe that God has been answering our prayer. And part of that involves some very simple feeding my sheep. I mean, we have had a Steve come in, and I mean, I know he wasn't a Thomas, he wasn't a Nathaniel, he wasn't a James, he wasn't a John, but he was a disciple just like the rest of us and a change agent in our congregation. And there are other change agents out here who are inviting us through them. Jesus is inviting us to be excited about opening our lives to other people and in so doing to feed my sheep.